From Pacific Life Insurance Company, this is the Life Podcast. This podcast is intended for financial professional use only. If you are not a financial professional, please visit our public website at pacificlife.com. Although this podcast is sponsored by Pacific Life Insurance Company, the opinions and views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not necessarily reflect Pacific Life Insurance Company's views on any of the topics discussed. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance products in all states except New York. Product and material availability and features may vary by state. And stay tuned after this episode for more important disclosures.
Welcome to this episode of the Life Podcast. I'm Andrea Brandon, your host for today's episode and Director of Value Add Marketing for the Consumer Markets Division at Pacific Life. Today, we have a unique format. We're taking a year-in-review approach. So we're going to break up our discussion into three chunks, starting broad and then narrowing our lens as we move along. First, I'm going to spend some time covering a few macroeconomic events that punctuated 2023. Then we're going to speak to our first guest, Josh Lauman, Director of Business Strategy Consulting and Intelligence at Pacific Life. Josh and I are going to talk about some big things that happened this year in the insurance industry specifically. Finally, we're going to bring it home, all the way home to Pacific Life. I'm going to speak to David Rosick, Regional Vice President at Pacific Life for the North Central Territory. David and I are going to discuss what proved to be some of the most valuable resources at Pacific Life this year. All right, I'll kick us off by talking about the U.S. economy, which is currently walking a tightrope, balancing between the possibility of a recession and the hope for a smooth landing. It's like a high-stakes game where anything can tip the scales. And unfortunately, at least for now, there seems to be more forces pushing it toward a recession rather than a favorable outcome. This insight comes from a model created by Bloomberg Economics, which has proven to be quite accurate in predicting recessions. So how does this model work? Well, it considers key factors, like, for example, the fact that inflation is moving in the right direction. It is heading lower, but it's also proven to be more persistent than expected. Headline and core inflation are still well above the Fed's 2% target. Consumer spending, which drives GDP, has been resilient, and the economy has continued to grow at a healthy pace. And labor markets remain tight with a low unemployment rate. But what we're also seeing is a declining labor force productivity metric and reduced temporary employment. Thankfully, supply chain bottlenecks, which plagued us all during the pandemic, has largely resolved. But challenges in the commercial real estate sector could intensify over the coming quarters as leases come up for renewal and a significant portion of debt matures. By analyzing this type of data, the model suggests that there's a greater than 50% chance of a recession being declared next year in 2024. Now, you may be thinking, what's the big deal? Greater than 50%? That doesn't sound like much I need to be worried about. And that's true. It is, like I said, kind of teetering on the edge, going one way or the other. But here's the rub. The model has its limitations. It can account for factors that have not been considered. In other words, it's a snapshot in time. And there are other concerning factors that could pose problems. For example, it's not taking into account the fact that there was a restart of student loan payments on October 1, which is expected to drain a whopping $8 billion per month from consumers, which will surely impact spending. On top of that, gas prices are skyrocketing. I paid over $6 per gallon the other day when filling my tank. And insurance premiums are on the rise in healthcare, home insurance, and auto, which puts even more strain on Americans' wallets. Interestingly, personal savings have also taken a nosedive after surging during the pandemic, and these excess savings are projected to run out by the end of the year, according to the San Francisco Fed. And you've also got the United Auto Workers strike. The ongoing strike could have a significant impact on wages, inflation, and monthly car payments. Although I did look into it, and AP News reported that the United Auto Workers reached a tentative agreement with Ford. Now, that agreement still has to be approved by tens of thousands of union members, but if it is, that could set the pattern for the agreements with GM and with Jeep maker Stellantis. Now, what does all this mean to you? Well, when a recession goes down, certain things go up, like unemployment and stress. Budgets get tighter, investment portfolios will probably take a hit, healthcare access shrinks because insurance coverage is linked to jobs that are being lost, and credit access shrinks since lenders become nervous about the job security of their borrowers. And if you've got current and prospective clients that are spending more on gas, insurance, student loan payments, car payments, then they'll have less money to invest with you. And they'll have less to spend on what they may need, like life insurance and long-term care insurance. Now, let's be honest, a lot can change between now, the recording of this podcast, and when it eventually goes live. It's a challenging time, but I think it's important to remain hopeful and remember that the economy has shown pretty amazing resilience in the face of adversity before. Now, I'd like to switch gears and discuss how the insurance industry has fared in 2023. I'd also like to introduce our first guest, Josh Laumann. Josh is a director of strategy consulting and intelligence for Pacific Life, where he leads consulting projects for senior leadership and runs a market intelligence program that ensures Pacific Life keeps its finger on the pulse of what's happening with competitors, distribution partners, and key industry trends. And I want to say that, Josh, I personally love reading your emails with those updates. Are those weekly, monthly? How frequently am I reading those?
They're typically weekly. So I send them out every Thursday morning about 7:30 Pacific. If anybody listening that's internal to Pacific Life doesn't get them, please just send me a note and I'd be happy to get you on the list.
Well, I personally love reading your emails and they're amazing for a few different reasons. First of all, you're super thorough, so thank you. But also, I think you really know your audience. You know we're all pressed for time, and so you do a really good job of balancing quick summaries and detail. I need to understand this stuff, but I don't have a ton of time, and you do a great job of laying out these quick little one-sentence blurbs that hits all the high notes so I can quickly scan, and then when I see something that's particularly applicable to what it is I do at Pacific Life, or maybe it just piques my interest because it piques my interest, I can delve into more detail. I click the link and it's just beautiful. So I just want to say thank you for those, but also I want to talk briefly because I found out something really interesting about your bio that I did not know before. We have bumped into each other in the hallways, but I never actually learned that you had a background in the Navy. You were actually an officer and you ran like an air surveillance crew where you were responsible for being in the Middle East and running like a 12-person crew and being responsible for a $36 million aircraft like Top Gun. Like, it just sounds like a movie. It sounds heroic and amazing because it was right around the time in the Middle East where it was like super scary to be over there. So you must have like nerves of steel.
So there were some tense moments for sure. And yeah, you nailed what I did at a high level. So I worked in aviation intelligence. I was in right after 9/11. And so we spent a lot of time in the Middle East working to provide the best intelligence that we could to the ships that were in the Arabian Gulf and to the troops that were on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. It actually is not that different than what I'm doing today in a large sense, where we were taking in intelligence from all kinds of different sources, all sorts of different platforms. And my role was really to serve as a meaning maker and dot connector and translate that to the folks on the ground or kind of on the ships in the water in a concise, meaningful way so that they could take action on it. You know, they weren't sifting through a bunch of intelligence reports, but they knew exactly what they needed to know, when they needed to know it, and could kind of get on with their jobs. But yeah, I spent a lot of time in the Middle East area post 9/11 doing that type of work, and it was really rewarding.
I would not be cut out for that job. My nerves would be frayed. But that is amazing. And it is interesting to also see the thread, right? Like, you're right. Like, intelligence from back in the day, it looks different, like when you were up close. But when you pull out at the high level, you can kind of see, yeah, this is the common thread. This is still kind of what you're doing. Maybe it's not as dangerous, but just as helpful from my view. Thank you for your service. Thank you for joining me today. Since this is your jam, intelligence, as far as the industry is concerned, I felt like you were the perfect person to have on the podcast to ask the question of what, from your perspective, happened this year that was super important for the insurance industry, life and annuities.
Yeah. So if I think about the biggest things that have happened this year in the life and annuity industry, I think about changes that have happened at three different levels. So at the carrier level, at the product level, and then at the distribution level. And then when I think about the carrier level, taking that one first, the biggest thing that's happened there is alternative asset managers and their increased presence in the industry. And so these are firms like Athene, which is owned by Apollo Global Management, and Global Atlantic, which is owned by KKR. And they're just really strong competitors, particularly in the fixed annuity space. And they just approach the market very differently than we do. They have private equity roots and just a very different approach to risk management, a very different set of strengths compared to traditional insurers like Pacific Life. And that makes them very strong competitors for us.
Just so that I'm clear, Josh, help me understand. It sounds like what you're saying is that the difference between these alternative asset managers and a traditional quote unquote carrier is that these alternative asset managers are experts with regard to like financial instruments and investments and whatnot. And traditional carriers kind of start with like, what types of products do customers need? And how do we provide the operations and the distribution model to support that? And probably the service model as well. Is that right?
Yes, I think that's exactly right. These alternative asset managers, they have a lot of expertise on the investment side, particularly with private credit instruments and originating and securitizing those so that then they can match them up against the promises that they've made as they've sold their life insurance policies and annuity contracts. And so it's just a different way of approaching the business. They've got a different appetite for risk than a typical carrier that's been in the industry for decades would. And I think these are the types of things that financial professionals need to be thinking about as they determine not only which product's right for their client, but which carrier's right for their client. And is that client really looking for the maximum return they can get possible on this product? Or is that one criteria that they're looking for in addition to a carrier that's really been at this for not just tens of years, but hundreds of years, and really has a reputation for being there and delivering on the promises?
Right. That's an important point. Thank you. And speaking of product, what happened this year with regard to product? What in your view is like the big deal?
And so at the product level, the big thing that's been going on is interest rates. And it's impacting our business in multiple ways on both the life insurance and the annuity side. On the life insurance side, the big thing I'd highlight is what's been going on with premium financing. And then on the annuity side, the big way interest rates are impacting the business there is a shift from variable to fixed products. While interest rates are a headwind for premium financing, the rates that you can get on those fixed products right now are really compelling. When finance professionals and clients look at the rates you can get on those versus the potential of a variable product, the fixed rates just look really compelling. And this is the classic bird in the hand, two in the bush. And when the bird in the hand looks really compelling, they take it. And that's what's been going on with fixed products in the current environment.
For those who may not be familiar with premium finance, you should check out our May 2022 podcast, where we interviewed Michael Rothman from Succession Capital Alliance. You'll get a quick primer there. Well, let me ask you this, because I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but do you have a prediction about what's going to happen with interest rates in 2024?
Well, if I knew exactly what was going to happen with interest rates next year, I'd quit my job and make some big trades in the bond market and retire on a beach somewhere. But I can tell you what's consensus. And so the Fed's raised rates a lot over the past year or so, and more recently been taking a pause as they let those rates kind of work their way through the economy. And I think the general consensus is that while rates will be higher for longer, longer term, they're going to be coming down.
We'll let you hedge it. I think that's fair. I'd be on a beach too. So I would like to know what's happening or what did happen at the distribution level this year.
So at the distribution level, the big thing that's been going on is consolidation. And so we're seeing this across multiple fronts. We see this with independent life distribution. We see this with registered investment advisors. We see this with regional banks. Given that we're a little bit more insurance focused for this conversation, I'll double click on what we're seeing happen with consolidation of independent marketing organizations. And so we're seeing a lot of consolidation being driven by a handful of firms, firms like Integrity, Simplicity, AmeriLife. They've all got private equity backing and seemingly endless appetite for acquisitions and growth. And so that's really changing the distribution landscape and what it looks like. And we're likely in the early innings of how this will play out. And so we're likely to see see this consolidation continue for the foreseeable future.
Huh, interesting. Well, what do you think that means for the financial professional?
Well, if you're an independent life insurance or annuity professional and you haven't got a call from one of these firms, your phone's likely to ring pretty soon because they're actively looking for more firms to acquire. And I think the things to think about is similar to the conversation we had. We were talking about carriers. It's just, if you're an independent financial professional, you need to think about how you want to manage your business and what matters most to you. And these firms can add a lot of capabilities from a technology perspective, from a scale perspective, that's hard to replicate as an independent professional. But at the same time, you're going to be giving up some control, some ability to manage your business and make the decisions that you believe are in the best interest of your clients. But you just don't have the same level of control and independence that you do if you're fully independent. And so, but they can offer a lot from a scale perspective, from a technology, from a sales support. And so it's just thinking about how you want to run your practice, how you want to set it up.
So there are considerations for folks who are looking to potentially be acquired, but still operating. But it might also be an opportunity for you to finally hit the golf course and retire, right? Like that's the other side of that coin.
Absolutely. I think for those of us that have been in the industry for a while, it's known that there's succession problems, right? And we don't have the level of depth in all the firms that we'd like to see. And so this can be a way to do some succession planning if you're a financial professional out there and you don't have a formal succession plan in place or an obvious way to make sure your clients are taken care of when you decide that you're ready to retire. And so that's absolutely part of the equation for some folks.
Very cool. Well, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I just want to recap while you're here so that you can correct me if I get some of this wrong. If I had to recap it, I'd say that advisors need to be thoughtful about the carriers that they choose to work with because they're different in structure, motivation, expertise, right? Also, now is not a great time for premium finance. Good time for annuities, not so good for premium finance. So if you have high net worth clients, you may want to consider other ways of paying premiums that are tax efficient. And finally, advisors who want to exit their business have the option of selling to a company like, say, Integrity, Simplicity, or AmeriLife. That sum it up?
Yeah, I think you did a great job of summarizing the key points of what we've been talking about.
Well, thank you so much. This has been an enlightening conversation. I really appreciate having someone with your experience, your expertise on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure for me as well.
Now I'd like to turn the conversation to Pacific Life and introduce our next guest, David Rosick. David has been in the financial services industry for 33 years. This is his 20th year at Pacific Life, where he's served in a few different roles. Currently, he is a field vice president, where he helps financial professionals generate millions of dollars in revenue by helping them with the design, presentation, and implementation of sophisticated insurance-based solutions for their clients. Some of the strategies that fall within his area of expertise include split dollar, premium financing, executive benefits, non-qualified deferred compensation, COLI, flexible estate planning, business continuation, and defined benefit plans. It's a long list as far as his areas of expertise go. David is also married to Donna. He has two kids, Ethan and Zoe. I've met Zoe. She's awesome. David and his wife are also the creators and directors of the Hope for All Foundation, which is a really cool nonprofit that creates hope for kids with autism spectrum disorders and other special needs. In his free time, he plays golf, tennis, does yoga. He likes to drink wine. I've seen him do it. And he also fosters dogs through Reach Rescue, Inc. I'm lucky enough to know David on a personal level. Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it.
Wow. Thanks, Trey. I am exhausted. That is quite a list you got there. Have I really been with Pacific Life 20 years? Man, it just seems like yesterday.
You must have started straight out of high school because you look 25 years old.
Oh,
wait, I guess that doesn't
Thank
make
you
sense.
So
Hold on. Hold on. That doesn't make any sense. I don't do public math for obvious reasons. Well, as you know, this is our last podcast that we're going to record this year. And We knew it was going to be coming out in December, which is why we chose to do this year in review approach to the content for the podcast. And we're doing something pretty unique because we're starting super broad. This podcast started with a very broad lens where we looked at the macroeconomic events that punctuated 2023, and then we narrowed the lens and spoke about some of the specific issues that happened this year affecting the financial services industry in particular. And now we're narrowing even further. We're bringing it all the way home to Pacific Life. And I know it's been an interesting year, so I'm really curious to hear from you, from your perspective, what's proved to be some of the most valuable resources Pacific Life had to offer in 2023? How did things shake out for you and the advisors that you worked with this year?
Well, thanks for having me, Dre. It's great. And you're right. It's been a dynamic year. It's been a challenging year. And it seems that throughout the year, everyone's talking about taxes. Okay? They're talking about how to plan for them better, how to reduce them better. Specifically, a lot of the tools and resources that I have found useful and the financial professionals that I call on have found useful are more focused a little bit more on the retirement planning side. We're getting to estate planning, but really valuable client-approved resources on the retirement planning side. And it's really about helping clients minimize their net effective tax rate during retirement. We're having a lot of discussions about that.
Taxes are always a topic people are interested in chatting about. So what exactly do you think Pacific Life has to offer here along this front?
The client-approved material has really improved over 2023. And two specific resources that I am using weekly, if not multiple times a week. Number one is a PowerPoint presentation, increasing awareness about taxes before retirement. And that goes hand in hand with a phenomenal interactive tax calculator that is on the website, lifeinsurance.pacificlife.com. I love this site and it's a great tool. The other thing about it is both the presentation and the tax calculator use a great visual. It's very easy to understand. It has these three buckets, and one bucket represents all retirement planning assets that are all taxable when you take them out. Number two is a currently taxable bucket, like investments, real estate, those that you get tax forms every year. And then number three is the often overlooked bucket, or the tax-free bucket. That's where life insurance fits in. A lot of people overlook it, and that's why I like it. It's really easy to understand. Advisors have a great time taking what I'm teaching them and taking it to their client and helping them understand that. So great tools, and couldn't be happier with them.
I've seen your PowerPoint presentation. I'm a big fan of that one because I'm big on metaphors and things that just help educate advisors and end clients. I love seeing the visual of the tax now, tax later, and like you said, tax-free or the often overlooked bucket that has life insurance in there as well as Roth IRAs and what have you. And I think it's a really powerful way to understand, you know, hey, all this money that's sitting in my qualified retirement plan is eventually going to be taxed. And depending on what my tax rate is in retirement, I'm not going to have that full balance at my disposal. I'm not going to spend all of it because Uncle Sam's going to get his fair share. Is that one of your pups from the rescue?
Yes, that's one of our foster fails. That's Monkey. He's blind. So he has like Superman hearing. It's crazy. So I apologize for that. So yeah, Dre, it's a great point that you're making regarding the visuals, the buckets, easy to understand, client approved, both in the PowerPoint presentation and on the interactive tax calculator that's on the site. And the site is great because financial professionals can share the majority of that information with clients. It's mostly client-approved material, and that's probably one of the best benefits on this site.
Perfect. Well, help paint a picture. Help me understand, how do you use these materials with advisors or their clients, or maybe both? I'm not sure.
Great, great point. Most of the time, I am working directly with the FPs and their staff. And many times it's really hybrid now. So there's a lot of Zoom There's a lot of screen sharing, and we're very much back in the field as well. So a lot of it is face-to-face. The great part about these resources and tools is they're good whether it's all digital or whether it's in person or a combination of both, which is pretty much every day. I will have in-person meetings and Zooms. So I will work with the FP. I will get a real-life case to work on. These are real issues that clients are concerned about every day. Financial professionals are talking about them every day. So we go through the tax calculator. We get an idea of where the client might be in regards to their net effective tax rate in retirement. We talk about strategies. And then I start to weave in some of our other specialists, other Pacific Life team members. So we have great resources at the Advanced Design Unit. They're all attorneys, and they can get on the phone with the financial professional and the client's other advisors. We have our annuity wholesaler that are great. Sometimes the combination of annuity and life insurance products could be a good solution. Our competition team, our product specialist, well, we need to go deeper and make sure the product is the right fit for the client. And then, of course, we have a robust new business and underwriting team. They do a phenomenal job of making that process very simple and effective. So nothing happens without great people. Our team is awesome. We trust them. They've got years of experience. And that's really how we take it from, hey, these are great tools, these are great resources, to how do we help implement them with the FP and their client.
So that's how you help advisors sell the case, but what resources do we have to support in-force business?
Great question, Dre. That is very important. Keeping a policy on the books is critical. These are wonderful long-term assets, these life insurance assets. And what we want to do is we want to make sure it's easy for the financial professional to help support the management of these assets, these life insurance assets, throughout the journey of a client's financial plan goals and objectives. So plan performance tracking is a great tool. Any contracted financial professional with Pacific Life can access plan performance tracking. All you have to do is contact your Pacific Life representative for that. And it is simple to get current values, an in-force statement, the as-sold illustration, any and all information about the in-force policy. It's as fast as getting a new proposal. It's a great tool. I've heard many financial professionals tell me that this is the best tool resource that is available in the industry for in-force policy management. Plan performance tracking is absolutely the best. And we're constantly making updates. That's the best thing. We are truly innovating there. I love it.
So it's a website and you gain access by at least one way is getting in touch with your Pacific Life representative.
Absolutely. Very simple. You get a username and password, login credentials, and then the training can happen with any of the Pacific Life representatives, or we have a whole team at the home office to help support that as well.
Got it. All right. So just to recap, let me make sure I'm picking up what you're putting down. Reducing taxes is always going to be a problem that a financial professional's clients and prospects are going to want help solving. And therefore, they should be using Pacific Life's digital resources and marketing materials to help them educate those clients and prospects. Yes?
Absolutely.
And when they're digging into the details, it's important that they also pull in the relevant Pacific Life expert to help them close the case, including Mr. David Rosick. Finally, make sure you use our plan performance tracking site to easily monitor all your clients' policies. Did I nail it, David?
You nailed it. 100%. You get a gold star.
Fantastic. Great. This has been great. As always, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Anytime. Thanks, Trey.
Well, one of the ways I like to wrap up this podcast is by summing up the top three takeaways, which is not easy to do because we covered a whole lot during this brief podcast. But let me try. First, there's a possibility of a recession in 2024, which could affect an advisor's business by reducing the funds available for retirement planning or insurance planning. Second, meeting the life insurance needs of high net worth individuals is kind of hard to do right now because the current interest rate environment is just not conducive to premium financing. So now's the time to get really creative when it comes to figuring out ways to pay premiums in a tax-efficient way for these clients. Finally, Pacific Life has many resources to help advisors serve their clients, no matter what the economic or industry environment, in 2023 and beyond. Thank you for joining us on the Life Podcast. We're glad you decided to spend some time with us today. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. And if you have a minute, we'd appreciate it if you left a rating and a review on whatever app you're listening on. We always love hearing from our listeners. If you have a question for us here at the Life Podcast or possibly even a topic suggestion, awesome. Please send us an email to themailbag@pacificlife.com. We do reply to every message. That's it for this episode. I'm Andrea Brandon. Thanks for listening.
Pacific Life is a product provider. It is not a fiduciary and therefore does not give advice or make recommendations regarding insurance or investment products. Pacific Life, its affiliates, their distributors, and respective representatives do not provide tax, accounting, or legal advice. Any taxpayer should seek advice based on the taxpayer's particular circumstances from an independent tax advisor or attorney. In order to sell life insurance, a financial professional or financial advisor must be a properly licensed and appointed life insurance producer. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance products in all states except New York. Product and material availability and features may vary by state. FP stands for Financial Professional. The following companies are not affiliated with Pacific Life Insurance Company: Amero Life, Apollo Global Management, Athene, Bloomberg, Global Atlantic, KKR, Integrity, Simplicity, Succession Capital. The home office for Pacific Life Insurance Company is located in Omaha, Nebraska. This podcast was recorded on October 27th, 2023. The state code for this podcast is 23-196.